constitutional patriot Wickliffe B. Venard, Sr. of Houston, Texas, has outstripped us all in his fearless attacks on the unconstitutional Federal Reserve money system. He has given 26 years of his life to the subject and has written no less than 6 wonderful books on the money swindler exposé. Mr. Venard has also come up with a peaceful legal solution of the one problem that will decide whether America is to continue as a constitutional republic or be destroyed, as have been all other nations in history which became slaves of the moneylenders. The bureaucrats in Washington have joined hands with these international bankers to push forward the welfare state dole to loafers who refuse to work, foreign aid to enrich these same moneylenders in their counting houses abroad, and the Civil Riots Act to foment racial revolution both here and abroad. Our banker-owned or controlled press, radio, and television are the mouthpieces of this Federal Reserve crowd. They have conspired to brainwash America into believing that our deadliest enemy is communism. Nonsense. Communism is only the grand poker game bluff. It is the power tool to spend this great nation into bankruptcy so that the bankers can take over. A determined American people can starve and wipe out communism, wipe it off the map in 1 year by taking away the money. As it is, the Washington Wall Street Combine is feeding American communism and keeping it alive with American money. Wick Venard told you the truth. Cut off the interest charges by these Federal Reserve international bankers, or rather take back our money from them, and every evil in the world will disappear as if by magic. Just think, we would end socialism, communism, internationalism, welfare state rewards to the scum of the nation for producing children out of wedlock by cutting off their money. We would be rid of NATO and the shameful United Nations. Uncle Sam will save $12 million a year alone in champagne and fancy cocktails for the ragtag militia of the world when we get rid of that Rockefeller World Banker UN pest house. And when we say Uncle Sam, we mean you, the American taxpayer. Instead of a war on poverty bill by which Lyndon and his congressional pals will latch on to a few more millions in graft, we will have an unwritten law of just one line that says, go to work, you bums, or starve. Cutting off the money is exactly the same as cutting off water to every ism in the world. It will wither and die overnight. Plan number one is the best and the easiest way to go about this. Get hold of a patriotic member of your state legislature, one who loves his country. Sell him this vital bill of goods and help him to make it his number one project. One loyal state legislature and one honest governor can upset the whole apple cart of these bankers and their paid-off traitors in Washington. There is much more hope of success in the state legislatures than in the federal Congress, for those Washington wolves have been taking it under the table too long to put up much of a fight. At the same time, have others in your group contact and meet with your congressman in Washington and get him to reintroduce House Bill number 8209, forcing the Secretary of the Treasury to buy back the capital stock of the Federal Reserve Banks. Our government has that right under the Federal Reserve Act as it was passed in 1913. Get busy on it. And do something tomorrow morning, for Congress can revoke the Federal Reserve tomorrow morning if it so desires. Mr. Venard's House concurrent resolution, which we now read you, is exactly the same as House Bill number 8209, which was introduced into the House 30 long years ago, but which the paid-off scoundrels buried in the Committee of the Judiciary. Here it is. State of, let us say, Alabama, or your state. House Concurrent Resolution. Be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the State of Alabama The Senate concurring that we respectfully request the Congress of the United States to propose to the people a bill or to call a convention for such purpose as provided by Article 5 of the Constitution. The bill providing as follows. A bill to vest in the government of the United States the absolute, complete, and unconditional ownership of the 12 Federal Reserve Banks. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that A. The Secretary of the Treasury of the United States is hereby authorized and directed forthwith to purchase the capital stock of the 12 Federal Reserve Banks and branches and agencies thereof, and to pay to the owners thereof the par value of such stock at date of purchase. B. All member banks of the Federal Reserve System are hereby required and directed to deliver forthwith to the Treasurer of the United States, by the execution and delivery of such documents as may be prescribed by the Secretary of the Treasury, all the stock of the said Federal Reserve Banks owned or controlled by them, together with all claims of any kind or nature in and to the capital assets of the said Federal Reserve Banks, it being the intention of this act to vest in the government of the United States the absolute, complete, and unconditional ownership of the said Federal Reserve Banks. C. There is hereby authorized to be appropriated out of any funds not otherwise appropriated such sums as may be necessary to carry out the purposes of this act. Resolved that a certified copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Secretary of State, to the President of the United States Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and to each member of Congress from the State of Alabama. Signed by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House. That bill, dear friends, must be introduced as a House concurrent resolution into the legislatures of the various states. A copy of it is enclosed with this recording. Now to step number 3 in the program. You must enlist the services of a dedicated constitutional lawyer to introduce lawsuits in the name of the citizens of your state against the Federal Reserve Banks in your area. This war to take back our money has already been started by the Constitution Party of Minnesota and the great patriotic citizens who joined them there. The suit began in the 3rd U.S. District Court of Minnesota with Messrs. Leo Zern and William McNeely and Mrs. Joan Van Popperen of the Minnesota Constitution Party as the plaintiffs. They were joined by two other lovers of our Constitution, W. Frank Horn of Renton in the state of Washington, and Marine Corps Lieutenant General Pedro Del Valle of Annapolis, Maryland. As we told you, they lost the first round, but they haven't lost the ball game. The appeal is already filed, and they have resolved to carry it to the Supreme Court. You must do and resolve likewise. Every individual lawsuit gains publicity and informs the people of our tragic monetary crisis. It spells the end of the United States if you do not do so. The law firm of Daly and Daly of Savage, Minnesota, has volunteered its services free of charge to prosecute this lawsuit. And Jerome Daly has already done a splendid, intelligent job, not only in the preparation of the suit, but also in his memorandum concerning it. We're proud to enclose you a copy with this recording. Let me read you just one paragraph, a brilliant paragraph, of Mr. Daly's memorandum. Here speaks a true American to be classified as a modern Franklin or Daniel Webster. We quote, "All power exercised over a nation must have some beginning. It must be delegated to the government by the Constitution, express or implied, or it is assumed. There are no other sources. All delegated power is a trust. All assumed power is despotic usurpation. Time does not alter the nature or quality of either. No legislative power or article of the Constitution can be altered, delegated, or infringed upon at the discretion of the government of the United States. The U.S. Constitution is to that government a law, and if that instrument is to be altered, it must be amended as provided by the people, not otherwise. Certain actions there are which consent of nations and individuals have branded with the unchangeable name of meanness. The particular act of meanness to which I allude in this description is the surrender of the political power of Congress to coin and create the nation's currency to the internationally owned and controlled Federal Reserve banks, and the subsequent borrowing of their unlawfully created money from them for the purpose of financing the government and supplying the nation's credit and currency. How is it that we are unable to see the serious wrong inflicted upon our posterity by the continuation of this vicious practice? Our country is owned and controlled lock, stock, and barrel by the national and international bankers, we being slaves to them in the land of the free and the dubious home of the brave. The uninhibited abandon with which some senators and congressmen ride down the provisions of the Constitution, in the face of their solemn oath to uphold, maintain, and support that instrument, identifies them with treason and tyranny." Unquote. That, Mr. Lawyer Jerry Daly, is magnificent writing. And there, ladies and gentlemen, is your program. You have the job to do. If you can get your state to become a co-plaintiff in the suit, then the action brought by any state has original jurisdiction in the Supreme Court of the United States and must be heard by that entire body. It is state interposition in the name of the people. Do not forget that the Association of Chief Justices of the State Supreme Courts overwhelmingly condemned the usurpation of power by the Supreme Court of the United States. Therefore, go to the Chief Justice of your state Supreme Court, enlist his help, and ask his advice. It may be heartening for you to learn that through the efforts of the Constitution Party lawsuits in Minnesota and Missouri, and the good offices of General Delvalle and Mr. Vinard in this fighting lawyer Jerome Daly, that a similar bill has already been presented as a motion in the House of Commons in England by a distinguished patriot member, Captain Henry Kirby. It has also been brought to the personal attention of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth that the issuance of money is vested solely in the Crown in Council since time immemorial, and not in the privately owned Bank of England. The motion of Captain Kirby calls for the resumption of all monetary emission by Her Majesty and not by the infamous House of Rothschild. Once this spark of freedom of debtors from creditors is ignited, it will spread across the world like a rebirth, for there is no slavery as venomous as that which money creates. In our lifetime, we've seen this Federal Reserve finance and train American troops on Long Island with American money and send them through Germany, with whom we were at war, into Russia in a sealed train to kill the Tsars, Tsarina, and all their family for the rabble to take over and establish communism. We have seen 71,000 farms and homes in Oakland County, Michigan, seized from their lawful owners by these foreign Federal Reserve bankers and placed under the foreclosure hammer in a single day, thereby impoverishing 250,000 fine Americans, just as was done in Russia. The same can be said of many other states, and that was in 1920. 1920 will be a midget tragedy compared with that which is coming here now, in the 60s. Here's a small item that needs to be mentioned. You heard Congressman McFadden's charge that the Federal Reserve sends money into our states to buy and bribe the legislatures? Well, until he became a turncoat, this Congressman Wright Patman of Texas, who is presently chairman of the House Banking and Currency Committee, furnished some valuable information. He revealed that $5.5 billion of idle federal funds is on deposit in the Federal Reserve banks, drawing no interest for Uncle Sam, if you please. The loan shark departments of every bank in the country stress interest payments to the public, but not to Uncle Sam, the dope. And these scoundrel bankers lend that money out at interest of at least 5%, thereby filching $275 million a year for themselves. 32 millions of this government money are in Atlanta banks, and 12.5 millions is in the Citizens and Southern Bank run by one Mills Lane in Atlanta. Again, 5% of $12.5 million is $625,000 a year. Now, what do you think this sterling character Mills Lane does with that money? Why, he buys the election of a nincompoop governor like Carl Sanders. And at $10 a head, that money will buy 62,500 votes. Check it up in your state and see how many offices for governor or members of Congress and even the President of the United States have been bought with this Federal Reserve money on deposit. Now do you see why there cannot be an honest election in this country? By all means, dear friends, have samples of the new and hungry-looking $1 bills, the Federal Reserve notes, to show your state legislators and everybody else. We call them your Federal Reserve Banker's rubber check, and that's just about what they are. They'll bounce higher than a kite if the banks don't want to give you silver for them, and they don't have to, for these new $1 Federal Reserve notes are no longer silver certificates. Look at the old $1 bill. They're fast disappearing. The very first words printed on them are silver certificate, and then the words, "This certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America $1. $1 in what? Why, in silver, because it's a silver certificate. And a certificate certifies something. The new Federal Reserve bill is a note, and a note is a promise to pay. It's an IOU, and there is nothing on deposit to back it. This newest slippery deal allows these international bankers to make off with 4 billion cartwheel silver dollars, the same as they've already done with our gold. And at the Wall Street inflated prices now, there is $1.30 worth of silver in every one of those old silver cartwheels. And yet this Douglas Dillon, Secretary of the Treasury, whose real name is Lepowski, says the new Federal Reserve notes will release or free 4 billions in silver. Release or free to whom? To me and you, the peasants? Oh, no. It releases it to the money changers of the Federal Reserve system. And we are now paying interest on every one of these new Federal Reserve $1 bills, where heretofore the public paid no interest on them at all. On the silver certificates. 4,000 millions of them. Oh God, how rotten is our thieving government, robbing its own citizens through crooked bankers, mostly foreigners. A word of warning, however. Your local bank or the cashiers and the tellers are not an actual part of this steal. They're not personally pocketing these billions of dollars. They're fine, decent people. But they are the slaves of this deal and the victims of the entire Federal Reserve system. Your local banks who have to buy Federal Reserve stock are the cause of a life and death power both over the banks themselves and all business. These pawnbroker Federal Reserve notes are the exchange used to extract the gold and now the silver from the American people. They are notes which are not money, but promises to pay. We again quote Congressman McFadden speaking in Congress, quote, "The Federal Reserve has been international banks from the beginning. Through the banker acceptance racket and the United States as their enforced backer and supplier of currency, these 12 private credit monopolies, the 12 Federal Reserve banks, are buying the debts of foreigners against foreigners in all parts of the world, and the United States is the guarantor of the debts. I charge them jointly and severally with having transferred upwards of $100 billion of their debts and losses to the general public and the government of the United States, and with the farms and homes of the American people. What the national government has permitted the Federal Reserve to steal from the people should now be restored to the people. If that valid claim is enforced, Americans will not need to stand in the breadline or suffer and die of starvation in the streets. Women will be saved and families kept together. American children will not be dispersed or abandoned. Whereas I charge them jointly and severally with the crime of having treasonably conspired and acted against the peace and security of the United States, and with having treasonably conspired to destroy constitutional government in the United States, resolved that the Committee of the Judiciary is authorized to investigate whether they have been guilty of any high crime or misdemeanor, which under the Constitution requires the interposition of the constitutional powers of the House. End of Senator McFadden's quotations. And then this courageous charge of treason was buried in the files of the Judiciary Committee, where it's been for 30 years. In conclusion, we wish to quote from Mr. Menard's great book, Conquest or Consent, the title of which was taken from the impudent speech of James Warburg of Kuhn, Loeb & Company before a cowardly U.S. Senate. He told them, "The United States will have world government whether we like it or not. It is only a matter of whether we get it by conquest or consent." Says Mr. Menard, "In my humble judgment, our enemies in order of importance are as follows: Satan, international bankers, the Federal Reserve System, tax-exempt foundations, and the United Nations, and so forth. Now go to work, dear good people. Hold weekly meetings everywhere in every community. Speakers will come to help you. We repeat again to every Christian, we're taking back our country. Let's begin by taking back our money. Let us present this matter to every state legislature in the country. Let us resolve to destroy the Federal Reserve usury system and replace it with glorious American currency." This is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.